When you need expert help and advice on issues affecting your business, NFU Cymru, we're here for you.
Farmers Guardian is proud to work alongside the Rock and Roll Farming Podcast. For all the latest news and features from across the ag industry, head to fginsight.com. You'll also find a wide variety of advice pieces to help you and your farming business flourish.
Want to get to know the people who produce the food that you eat? This is the place. Step this way and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming. Rock and Roll Farming is proud to be part of the Farm and Rural Ag Network. For more great agriculture-related podcasts and vlogs, please visit farmruralag.com. Hey everybody, and welcome to Rock and Roll Farming episode 66. I'm your host, Will Evans, and tonight I am heading up to Driffield in East Yorkshire to talk to sisters and pig farmers, Kate Moore and Vicky Scott. How are you both doing?
We're good,
thank you.
Good. Now, how's this run of hot weather we've had in the UK for pig farmers? Is that a good or a bad thing?
It's a good thing, thank God. We have had the most horrendous winter outdoors. It's just dreadful. But yeah, the pigs are now sunbathing and wallowing in their water trough, so that makes it so much better.
Yeah, it's pretty indoor, apart from it's a bit, when it goes cold at night and then warm during the day, it can cause problems with like meningitis and stuff on the finishing side of the business.
Yeah, right. Okay. All right. And you must be sick of this kind of thing because you had farming today there for a whole week fairly recently, didn't you?
Yeah, we loved it as well, to be fair. So yeah, we quite like being on radio and TV.
The radio guys were really good because they kind of really got involved in it.
Yeah.
Understand it and want to understand it, which was good. It made it a lot easier, actually.
Yeah, okay. Well, rest assured you'll get no such high standards of professionalism with Rock and Roll Farming.
Oh, don't let us down, please.
You've even had the sound people from Radio 4 show The Archers there recently, haven't you?
Yeah, our pigs are famous. The noises are obviously very good noises.
We did that for Mum because she is a massive Archers fan.
Yeah, okay. So how did they just get in touch and say they wanted to come and record some pigs' noises?
Yeah, I think they'd been listening to Radio 4 Farming Today.
Yeah.
And so it came a long way to...
They did, didn't they?
We accommodated them.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so you're in East Yorkshire. That's traditionally been an area that's associated with pig production in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, and more so, people are bringing a lot of finishing pigs up into East Yorkshire from all over the country, which is just actually causing a few problems.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Yeah. So basically, there's now about six or seven different companies keeping finisher pigs in East Yorkshire.
Okay.
And it brings in diseases, basically.
Yeah, right, okay.
And so where once we were the only pig farmers within a radius of, say, like 10 miles, now we've got everybody's pigs in, like, really 5-mile radius.
Wow, okay.
Just challenges them quite a bit, really.
Mm. It's not great for anybody.
Nobody wins from it.
Mm.
But the competition for yards is just so high that people just have to get them wherever they can do.
Yeah, okay. I mean, your parents created that business from nothing, didn't they? Tell us a bit about that, because it's quite a story, really.
So Dad had previously been a farm manager, and we'd been all over the place. So we were in Oxfordshire for a long time, and then moved up to near Hornsey, and he managed a farm there, and then got a chance to be contract farming on an estate near Scarborough, which we did for 5 years, and that was dairy and arable.
Okay.
We grew all your normals and lots of potatoes, and that came to an end. The estate decided they wanted to take it back in hand, and basically we were homeless and didn't really know what to do, and Pockthorpe came on the market, and Dad came and it went to auction, and and he bought it.
Okay.
And I kind of think it just happened like that. I think he was really fortunate because he had a friend who knew about pigs.
Yeah.
Was keen to help us, and the place popped up, had had pigs on a long time before, but had been empty for a while. But, you know, it was immediate, right, well, we're going to put 800 sales down and go from there, and that's what we've done.
So your dad had no previous experience with pigs?
Not really. One of the units he managed had a very small pig breeding unit, but I don't think he had a great deal to do with it. No, he didn't have any experience. He used a lot of help from, you know, other people within the industry. But I think it's fairly fair to say that Dad's a proper entrepreneur. You know, he saw an opportunity and went for it.
Yeah.
I remember when our first sow farrowed, me and Dad stayed up all night watching. Needless to say, we've not done that since.
So were you growing up then, were you interested in the farming, both of you? Did you, I guess you would have been helping out the same as we all do on farms?
Yeah, when I was growing up, we were on the arable and dairy farm, and I used to do a lot of calf feeding like you do, mm-hmm. and carting corn and stuff like that. But when we moved here, literally the day before I went to university, we sold the dairy cows.
Mm-hmm.
When I came back from university for the first time, we were living at Popthorpe. And to be honest, for those years when I was at uni, I didn't actually have a lot to do with the pigs because I had no idea about pigs as the farmers did. And I did all the grain sampling kind of summer jobs and stuff. But it wasn't until after uni and we were short-staffed.
Yeah, which is exactly the same as me as well.
Came home.
Probably never thought we'd be pig farmers. Yeah, we did both end up getting into it because they were short-staffed and they stopped working here when I came back and had nothing to do when they were short-staffed and she wrote me in.
I made us get out of bed. You can share the pain. Come on, Kate.
Allowed out since.
You've never been allowed out since. That's fantastic. Okay, so
we're trying.
So you both went off and did a bit of traveling and then you literally came back and joined the business.
Yeah,
I tried a few different things. Like I did marketing for Grampian Country Foods, what it was then, and marketing for a printing company as well, and absolutely hated sitting indoors and not being outside. And I even drove wagon, HGV wagons as well. But eventually got pulled back in.
Okay. So when you guys came home from university and joined the business, what kind of setup was it then? What sort of numbers did you have?
So when I came home, we were still on 800 sales and we were selling all our weaners. So we were literally just operating a breeding unit, mm-hmm. And it grown fairly quickly from then on, really. That was about 2002.
Okay.
We're now at 1,700 sales.
Indoors.
1,500 outdoors. We've got our own mill. And we finish all the pigs ourselves.
Yeah, we've got a couple of finishing sites that we own. And then we've got about 30 farmers around North and East Yorkshire that finish them as well for us.
Wow, okay. So it's a hell of a big business then. There's five of you involved in the business, isn't it, from the family?
Yep.
How does it work in terms of roles? Do you each take care of different things or is it?
Yeah. We, Kate and I had a bit of a set to after I'd had
she
my
hit
first.
Me with a fork. She was pregnant, so I couldn't hit her back.
Yeah, exactly how it happened. She was trying to get her feet well under the table, and I wasn't having any of it. So we sorted that out fairly quickly. And that's we decided there and then that we couldn't, although we worked really well together, we couldn't do the same job day in day out, so we've split it and I look after the breeding unit and you look after the finishing side, don't you?
Yeah, and then which works quite well, and then Rachel helps mum in the office,
okay,
doing all the books, And dad, what does dad do? No, dad kind of oversees it all, although he is wanting to step back a little bit at the moment.
Okay. Well, I think he's so serious. Yeah.
I think he's actually.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's, yeah, that, I wasn't expecting that story. That's fantastic. Made my day.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't going to work as it was, that's for sure.
All right, so what breed of pig are they? What breed of pig have you got there?
We've got large white Landrace.
Okay. And what's I get, that's a very commercial breed, and what are their characteristics?
Productive, basically. Just productive, I suppose you'd say.
Mm-hmm. And they're very placid on the breeding herd. They're chilled. On the indoor herd, they're really chilled.
Yeah. Okay.
It works quite well.
Okay, and I know, and you mentioned that you've got a sort of range of systems there. You've got outdoor, and then you've got indoor on both straw yards and slats. Perhaps you could just explain that a bit and some of the main differences between the systems.
Yeah, so once the pigs leave here at 7 kilos, so 28 days of age, they go on. To, they're not heavier than 7 kilos.
They are.
They go on to,
this morning,
they
pigs.
Go on to third party farms, and so most of our yards go from 7 kilos all the way through to slaughter, which is about 5.5 months.
Okay.
And the majority of our yards are all straw based.
Yeah.
So we like this system because the pigs can exhibit their natural behaviours, it's just pleasing to the eye, really. The downsides are that they grow slower because they're obviously running around a lot more, and they're eating the straw, which fills their tummies up, so they're not eating the food that makes
converts
them grow faster.
The meat.
Yeah, so they're converting slower and growing slower. So then we decided that we needed to put up a fully slatted building, so we could compare our costs to see how much we're actually losing by putting pigs on straw.
Yeah.
And so we did that last year. It got finished in February last year, and we've had about, I think we're just finishing our sixth batch off through there at the moment. And yeah, they finish a lot faster. They convert food better. And all in all, we think it costs us about £10 a pig less to produce pigs on slats.
Wow.
Than it does, which is a massive amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
All our from our indoor herd, unfortunately, go into a standard tier because we have a farrowing crate. And so that's basically where we're trying to get a market at the moment for a straw finished pig, because we believe that that is a better way of doing rearing pigs, in our opinion.
Yeah, okay. And is it frustrating for you it sounds like in an ideal world, that's what you would choose, the straw yards. Is that's right?
Oh, 100%. In fact, we go to the point where actually, if we do get pushed down this fully slatted route, then we will not do it. Vicky and I are so passionate about it that we just won't do it.
Yeah, okay. So, and is it frustrating that people very often, they seem to say one thing when it comes to animal welfare, but they don't seem to necessarily understand that to achieve high standards of animal welfare, you do have to pay a bit more for your food?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult. I suppose I'm beginning to learn, I think, that actually it's really difficult to try and tell people exactly how you do, or even get them interested in telling them. People are very quick to criticise and tell us that what we do is cruel or whatever it is, but they're not very quick to kind of go out of their way to understand why we do stuff and, you know, the alternatives. And it's just, it is quite difficult. And I think just over the last few weeks, it's become much more obvious that actually people maybe aren't that bothered. But when something, you know, breaks, like a welfare story or whatever, then they're very happy to jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, we'll never buy this, we'll never do that, look how cool everybody is. But yet they won't seek out you know, what actually is going on in real life.
Yeah. Okay. And what do you think we can do as farmers to try and get that message across? I mean, I know you both spoke really well about this on Farming Today.
I think Kate and I are really passionate about telling people what we do. And we're doing Open Farm Sunday this year, mm-hmm. for the second time, just to show people around. You know, we've never said that we're perfect or yeah. what we do. It's completely our opinion. I think we do our best. We have farrowing crates. And I know lots of people don't like to see a pig in a farrowing crate. But because we've got the experience of having pigs in a freedom farrowing system and outdoors, at least we can, you know, explain, well, actually, this is the benefit. This is why the farrowing crate does work so well. They're only in here for 28 days. If there was an alternative that was as good at protecting piglet mortality, et cetera, then we would look at it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We're keen to get out there and show kids especially what we do and why we do it, and just try and, people don't like the word educate, but just try yeah. and show what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, welcome them in to our world a little bit, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah, I think farmers are quite good at shutting the door and not actually allowing people to yeah. understand what we do on a day-to-day basis. And from my point of view, it's a lot easier to explain, for myself to explain why we do something, rather than something break out on TV and then we're trying to justify why we do it. So we just think that it's better to tell them, and then they can make an informed decision if they want to continue buying that product or not.
Yeah.
I mean, the straw and slats thing, you know, there's nothing wrong with pigs on slats. Mm. You know, cheap way of producing meat. And every system that we have in this country is a good system. It's just different.
Yeah.
And it's just literally the fact that Kate and I, and there will be other farmers as well, don't want our pigs on the slat. I like seeing my pigs in straw. I like them being able to root around.
Yeah.
And doing them as well. I mean, I go into the slat building and it's not a nice, well, I know environment's fine, but you know, it's not the same as being amongst straw in a big open shed that's obviously not efficient and...
Yeah.
In
the
yeah, but you know, it's nicer to be out in the straw sheds than it is in the slatted buildings.
Yeah, and how frustrating is it for you as UK pig farmers, and we have some of the highest standards of animal welfare in the world, that you're competing with other countries that don't necessarily have those same high standards?
It's quite difficult that, because you know, the EU obviously are meant to adhere to the same red tractor standards as what we adhere to.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, other countries don't have to adhere to those standards, and they don't, as we know that a lot of them still keep pigs in stalls and what have you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a hard one, really. I think it all comes back to opening our doors and showing the consumer what we do.
Mm.
And they can decide, and they can look for that British product.
I think UK retailers really have to stand by their British producers.
Yeah.
To be fair, it's a bit hit and miss, but generally they are pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you mentioned that the pigs are they're sent away to one of your sort of bed and breakfast farmers, if you like. How does that work? And is it easy to find farmers with both the necessary expertise and the right system and setup on their farm?
No, not. We have a great set of farmers that look after pigs for us, and yeah. we really do value them. It is getting increasingly hard to find these farmers. A lot of arable farmers are currently putting up fully slatted buildings for people, yeah, because they want the slurry basically.
Yeah.
But to be able to find someone that can look after them as well and are stock people, then it is quite difficult. I mean, we have three fieldsmen and myself that go around all our yards to make sure everything's all right. But yeah, the more, the two biggest abattoirs are up in Yorkshire. And so, yeah, more and more people want to bring them here to finish them off. And so at the end of the day, it's getting really quite difficult. It's very competitive, really competitive.
Yeah, okay. And what about, you must be employing a hell of a lot of staff there. Is it, I guess that's quite difficult as well. Do you manage to find the right people okay, or is that difficult too?
We are really lucky in that I've got some really good staff. In fact, most of the guys I've got at the moment have been with me for quite a long time now. And yeah, they're good guys. I think generally there is a real shortage of good staff within the farming industry.
Yeah.
But then you speak to other industries as well, and they're all struggling. So I don't think it is just an agricultural thing. I think it's probably a societal thing.
Yeah.
Without getting too many politics. But yeah, to find a good member of staff is really, really important. And then you need to keep hold of them.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And what about the pigs' diet then? You mentioned you've got your own meal. What are you feeding the pigs on?
Cabbages and cauliflower.
Well, the finishing side, we feed them all a pellet that we mill ourselves. So there's the obvious, like wheat, barley, wheat seed, soya in there. And then we get some crisps and some biscuits that aren't used. Basically that's it. And then obviously vitamins and minerals to balance it. The breeding herd.
Yeah, on the breeding herd, on the indoor unit, we are using co-products. So we're wet feeding. We use potato, whey, confectionery, whey, set of gold, and wheat and barley and soya. And then that's all pumped around electronically.
Yeah, okay. So
we work really closely with the nutritionists.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I guess having your own, running your own meal, I guess just gives you a lot more control over exactly what's going in.
Yeah, and we try and buy wheat and barley from all our farmers.
So yeah, okay.
And yeah, it means that if something's short of supply, then we can tweak the diet. So if there's something just rumbling through the herd, then we can adjust it that day. So, and also when they are expensive, then we know that what we're putting into the diets is what we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a really good asset, I think, for us.
Yeah. Okay. And antibiotic use in farm animals is a much talked about issue right now in the UK. I'm guessing that you'd only be using them when absolutely necessary.
Yes.
And we've always been like that. We've never blanket treated anything.
Yeah.
Our outdoor pigs are reared without, and they're going into America for that market with Caro Foods.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, our usage is very, very low across the whole business. And if anything breaks down, then we're always looking at why it's broken down and trying to stop it from happening rather than just putting some antibiotics into them.
Yeah, and I guess that goes back, a lot of that goes back to having such high standards of biosecurity, I guess.
Yeah. Our system was set up right at the start when Dad started to be very strict all in, all out. So we don't mix ages, we don't mix from different sources. You know, we are and have been, touch wood, very healthy for a long time. So, yeah, I think it comes down to lots of other things.
Okay. I guess biosecurity on pig farms has always been extremely tight, and the rest of the industry's maybe catching up with that a little bit.
Yeah, I think we could be a lot better as an industry. We are strict in the pig free days before coming on farm, but I mean, around different countries are a lot stricter than what we are, and I think it's something that we could possibly get better at.
Okay. I think the guys are better, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So you mentioned,
but like you said right at the start, it is quite difficult when you've got different people's pigs next door to you. and things like that. So yeah, it's not ideal.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've got a free range laying hen unit here, and I mean that's certainly an issue now with more and more of those flying up. With the spread of bird flu, of avian influenza. So yeah, I totally get where you're coming from with that.
Well, we had to sell our geese the other year because of bird flu.
Did you?
I was pretty upset about that.
Oh, but,
yeah.
Okay. So where you mentioned that your outdoor pigs are going to the States. Where are the rest of the pigs going?
So our indoor pigs go to Cranswick. Preston near Hull.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that, and then they'd be in supermarkets. They'd be for sale there.
Supermarket, UK supermarkets.
Yeah. Okay. And are you? There's a lot of talk now, post Brexit, of a growing export market for British pork products. And you know, there's talk of China, for instance. Is that something that you're feeling quite positive about at the moment?
Currently, all our fifth quarter goes to China and has done for years. So that's very important that we keep that market because that's probably about £30 a pig, that market. So, yeah, I mean, anything else that opens like that, that we can get rid of the parts that we don't use in the UK.
Yeah,
it's obviously really vital to us.
Mm, okay. And how... How important is it? I mean, this is maybe a silly question, but how important is it that you know all your costs of production? You obviously do, but how important is that?
And it's something that Dad has completely drilled for us. Kate's much better at it than me. Ruled by my heart rather than my head, but
it's really, really important. I mean, you need to know exactly what costs you're having, and then you can work out basically how much you're going to make or lose. With the pig industry, obviously, it's so up and down. If you don't know what your costs are, you don't know where you can save money, and you don't know where you can try and make yourself more efficient. So we do analyze our costs on a monthly basis, and it is down to like point 0.5 of a pence kind of thing. We are that tight. We don't like giving money away.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's from Yorkshire, so yeah, I'm experienced with that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's got to be, because there's an awful lot of pig producers have gone over the last sort of 20 and 10 years, isn't there? So I guess that's why you guys are still charging forward.
Hopefully, yeah. That is definitely Dad's grounding.
Yeah, I mean, we've got data on every pig that we've ever sold.
Mm.
So we know what weight it was when it left the farm. We know what weight it was when it went to the abattoir. We know what probe. We know literally everything about every pig that we've ever sold. And we're always analysing it.
Yeah, okay. Well, and you're clearly doing something right, because in 2012, you won the Farmers Weekly Pig Farmer of the Year Award.
Oh, that was fun.
That was the best night ever.
It must have been. That must have been an amazing thing for you all as a family.
I think
it was one of the best.
Got a little bit more than what he was expecting from Rachel.
It was great fun, that. Really, really worth doing. And, yeah, good fun.
Yeah.
I can't remember much about the year. Although it was very good.
Yeah, I mean, that was especially, for your mum and dad, from starting the business just in 1996 to winning that award just a relatively short time later. They must have been incredibly proud.
Yeah, they are quite amazing, really.
Dad wasn't keen on us doing it to start with. He's like, oh, we don't want to be doing that. And anyway, okay.
Yeah, he lapped it up again.
Okay. I can't not ask you about the fact there's three sisters, the three of you working in farming. It shouldn't be unusual, but it kind of is, isn't it? Do people comment on that a lot?
I don't know if they do, really. I mean, within the pig industry, there's a lot of daughters that are taking over, so I think it's quite normal, really, within the pig
I think
industry.
We've been around quite a long time now as well. I think we'd quite like to make a bit more of it maybe ourselves, and do something ourselves with it. But it's quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I find it, because you know I've got four daughters and I still get people who comment to me, or you know, you'll keep going for the boy for the farm, will you, and things like that. Surprising how often people say things like that to me, and it's when I hear stories about what you guys are doing, I think that's makes me smile.
I think boys and girls do operate in different ways. I mm-hmm. think that's what we've learned from the difference between us and Dad.
Yeah.
How you think about things. But actually, we've all got our different strengths and weaknesses, haven't we?
We work well together. I mean, the only thing that makes it difficult is that we've all got children. And so, no matter what, we are still the ones who are expected to look after the children, even though in this society. And so Dad doesn't quite appreciate that, I don't think, but we do have to.
Well, mine are at work now, so it's fine. They're 7 and 9. And they're
what? So she could probably get on
there. Yeah, okay. So you mentioned that you'd quite like to do something more with that. Is that sort of something you're thinking for the future, sort of maybe some sort of brand or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's something that even when I was at university or just finished at uni, it was something that I thought, oh, it'd be great to brand our own product.
And we've talked about it for a long time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's about time we
just had a go at it. You know, lots of people have told us not to do it. And we just think, well, why not? Let's try it anyway. You can only try these things, can't you?
Yeah.
As long as we know how much it's costing and whether it's going to make us any money in the long term, then, you know,
we're
going to go for it.
We like a challenge.
Yeah. Just make sure you set clear roles for yourself first. I don't want to hear about anyone hitting each other with a fork or something like
that. I'm going to exaggerate that a little bit.
Okay. So I know that from I saw your Twitter feed that Kate, that you were at an education day for children a couple of days ago.
Yes.
Is that right? And I know, Kate, I know that you're very passionate about children learning more about where their food comes from and perhaps getting into the curriculum. Do you think, how important do you think that is?
I think it's really, really vital. And Vicky and I were talking on Monday about children and people in general not knowing enough about food, where it comes from, how to cook it, and really how important it is that we need to get that back into the schools and get people cooking from scratch.
Yeah. I think, the rise of convenience food and things, satisfying a demand apparently, has meant that people haven't had to learn to cook. So we all say, oh, God, well, they can't cook. Well, actually, they haven't had to cook because there's been something on the shelf for them to literally just bung in the microwave.
Yeah.
And I personally think that's a real backward step.
Mm.
And people don't appreciate or value their food like they probably should. And I don't want to say like they used to in the old days, because it's just the fact that they haven't had to handed to them.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It's very easy to sort of blame the consumer, maybe, for want of a better word. It's easy to do that, isn't it? But it's kind of up to us all, isn't it, to promote that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite... One of the things I was quite encouraged by in the DEFRA's recent consultation document was the fact that they wanted to link food with farming again. I did think that was a good thing.
I think it's vital.
We're doing a lot, aren't we, with kids? Because we're doing some stuff at the Yorkshire Show as well. They do some farm days. We're doing that. And we're doing the Yorkshire Show.
Yeah.
With our little day in the life presentation.
Oh, wow, okay. What does that involve?
We stand there and introduce, this is Kate, my sister, and together. No, it's like a presentation, and we go through what we do on a typical day on the farm. So lots of pictures and videos of what we do, and we just explain it.
Just trying to, explain what we do, and also just try and inspire a few kids into agriculture as well, that it's not all about looking out and stuff
and that there are so many opportunities.
Yeah. One child yesterday, what did they say to you?
They told me, well, first of all, I got told there's a video of a wagon backing up unloading some piglets, and one boy told us that we were quite thick because actually, if we'd left the wagon a bit further,
there wouldn't have been the gap. And
we've ever had the chance to escape. And then the other boy told me, I can't remember what he was
These
talking about.
These are like 9 and 10 year olds.
He told me, if I was advising you, I would advise you to do. Oh, right, thank you.
He's got a bright future, that boy.
I was like, do you want a job?
Yeah, okay. So is that part of a wider organisation? Is that part of
The UK stuff has just come around through
Yorkshire Ag Society, Future Farmers of Yorkshire.
Yeah,
okay. Because I know you are involved with various industry organisations, aren't you?
Yes, we are, both of us.
Yeah, do you think it's important that we do that as farmers, that we get involved and give these organisations a more powerful voice?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, yeah. And it's good for our own business as well. It's good to meet other people and get out of just the pig industry. So, like, see that there is other things.
I don't do that very much. You do. You're good at that.
Yeah, okay, so I can't not mention the stand by your ham.
Oh, what a thing.
I said to Kate I could just talk to you about that for an hour. It was awesome. God.
When we went and did that down in London, we had to have our own private singing lesson over lunch. When everyone else was at lunch, Kate and I and one other farmer, who were obviously really rubbish, had to have our private dinner lesson.
So how did that come about? How did you get roped into that?
It was when the industry was in really bad state. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was Hugh Crabtree that just said that we needed to do something to draw attention to it. And so he's quite musical. And so he got us together. And, yeah, we recorded it in a studio. It was fantastic. It was such a good day.
To be fair, one thing about the pig industry, we are all really quite close-knit, all want to work together. And, you know, when times have been bad, we've all rallied around and we've been picketing at the retailers' doors and all sorts. So that is one really good thing about the pig industry. But yeah, to be fair, that stand by your ham thing was great.
Yeah, it did look as if everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, we did record another one as well, so watch out, it might get released.
So people listening, do look at Stand By Your Ham on YouTube. It's awesome. Really, yeah, it really made me laugh last night.
There were some really good singers within the pig industry.
Yeah.
There were
the ones that the front, the people up front there were really good voices, didn't they?
They were put at the front. And Tom Thorpe was a very good singer.
Yeah.
She's well known within the pigs.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, before I let you get back to your office work, I'm going to ask you the traditional 5 quick questions to finish this off. So if you're ready.
Yeah, ready. Go for it.
Okay. What are both of your all-time favourite songs?
Stand By Your Ham. There is no other.
Yeah, on repeat.
Oh, okay, I'll see if I can download it to my iPod. Okay, all right. Question for Vicky then: If Kate was arrested and taken away, what would you assume that she'd done?
She'd been chopped and given someone a lot of grief verbally, and they'd had no option but to lock her up, to shut her up.
All right, then, same question for Kate. If Vicky was arrested.
Oh, Lord, I don't know what it would be. She's such an angel. It would probably be too competitive with her daughter.
There's nothing wrong with a bit of competitive parenting. No, I'm banging to that.
Run a bit faster, come on.
All right, so you've both did quite a lot of travelling after uni. You've been around the world quite a bit, and I know, Kate, you've done enough field. So where's your favourite places that you visited?
I love South America and South Africa. I like the places that are totally different to the UK.
I quite like England. But where did I really didn't like America. Well, I actually flew into Los Angeles, and like that frightened the hell out of me after being at little old Harper Adams.
Yeah.
But I lived in Sydney for about 6 months and worked for an environmental company and loved it there, actually. Just a bit of city life. It was fun.
Yeah, okay. All right, then.
Home bird, really.
Okay, so lastly then, if you had to recommend a farmer or someone involved in agriculture or a company or organisation to follow on social media to a non-farmer, who would it be and why?
Oh, obviously you will.
Not me. I'm not allowing that.
Dingley Dell, I like Dingley
Dell. Yeah, Dingley Dell's good for the pork industry.
Okay.
What about Mark?
Mark Jagger from BQP Pigs. We're all very pig orientated.
That's fun.
I chuckle at yours though, especially the bead update. That made my day this morning.
I'm not gonna go into it, but honestly, we're social pariahs now. I don't think we can go to the school gates anymore. All right then, guys. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to me today. Because as has become clear, obviously you're obviously both really busy. So I do appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's all right. And because I've realised I haven't, you're the first large scale pig producers I've spoken to. So it's great to find out a bit more about what you're doing up there.
Yeah, well, when Stand By Your Ham gets released, does it still like get released into the charts, or do they not do that? It's a download now, isn't it? we'll share some royalties.
Maybe. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm gonna call the show. I'm gonna call this podcast "Stand By Your Ham." That's the title for it. So.
Brilliant.
All right, then. To everyone at home, thanks for listening, and see you next time. I've been Will Evans. This has been Rock and Roll Farming. Thank you, and good night.